You know, I was thinking about this today, and I said to myself, it never gets old seeing Ross Miller. Welcome into another edition of the Coach's Show here on AM 1030.
I thought you were going to talk about the Jets. I thought you said it never gets old to watch the Jets lose.
Well, it wouldn't get – I'm a lifelong fan, so
yes,
no,
you are.
It never gets old to watch a team lose.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, too. And I said, Michael, you do a great job. I tell you what, the people out there, I hope they really appreciate the work that you put in, because – it's something that we haven't had before in a long time. I know that we had Danny Havel here that was in the same league where you're at right now. But the thing is, though, that, I mean, what you do is spectacular work, to be truthful.
Well, thank you very much. And, by the way, and we're going to get Brian Hill on here in just a couple minutes. And just a reminder to everybody, the reason why the High School Coaches Show is on AM 1030 this week, we are working on our transmitter. So the game this week is either going to be on – Z98, or it's going to be on KWKR. We don't know exactly right now. We will have the updates all week long on the internet. So on the website at WesternKansasNews.com. But boy, a big win for Garden City. The Buffaloes at home taking care of business. And now, as we've been talking about, Ross, the real season will begin. And if you just go around the entire state right now, and we'll get to Garden City in a second, you know, watching some of the highlights of that Dodge City game, and listening to some of the calls. Where Dodge City has the chance towards the end of the game, they had four red zone turnovers, and including the interception of the end zone at the end of the game. And you want to talk about? I mean, look, it was a conference game, yes.
Yeah.
They're not going to cost you your season. That could come this week when Dodge plays Hutch. But boy, to have your game end, and I talked to Dave Foster earlier today, and he says, well, it's only fitting that the game ended that way, because we turned the ball over three previous times in the red zone. Game might as well end with us throwing another pick in the end zone.
You know what? It will be amazing. At the beginning of the season, wouldn't you have favored Hutch as being one of the teams in the district to
beat?
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, the team that you'd already pencil in because you're so used to penciling them in. But now it comes down to me, it's Mays and Garden City. Those would be the two teams I think that are favored right now going into district play. Obviously, you don't want to sit there and move on here. And I know with Brian sitting here right beside us, and he's probably not looking down the hallway right now. All you got to be thinking of is a good Mays team. People would say, last time you'd be playing Mays. No. And I can't believe this. That's another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. People actually come up and would talk to you and Martin there at the lining up some schedules, Olathe East. I can't wait to see the breakdown of how you guys are going to do the road game, because you're going to have to play somebody. Somebody's got to get to come here twice unless we get three home games and go on the road six times for the first time next year.
Well, we're going to go to Olathe East first.
Yes.
So then that'll break it up. So we'll be on the road, then at home.
Are you guys leaving tomorrow for that game?
July 30th next year we're leaving. That meeting was a little more rewarding this year than it was 2 years ago. We got back in the car and – kind of stared at one another and, you know, did nothing but complain for 3 hours on the way home. And this year, I mean, we could have left about an hour and 15 minutes earlier than what we did 2 years ago. And, it just was a great opportunity. And Mays, you know, stepped up and, you know, said they would come out here and play. They're used to it. You know, they don't mind it. And, you know, I'm not so sure Olathe East understands, but that's all right. Doesn't matter. They've got us a contract.
Well, is Mays coming here next year?
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. Okay, yeah. Then that will work out just fine then. I think it goes 4-5 then. Maybe we get four home games, five on the road.
Yeah.
Because you sit there and think about how that broke down. But, man, what a cool deal, because I was worried about – I know that, you know, maybe Pueblo East. Why not? Pueblo East is closer than Olathe East, tell you the truth. Even going down to Dumas, Texas, is closer than that.
But I think one of the points, and you know, talking with even Martin and even talking with Brian, is the fact that, look, you know, it's the first time that you guys have had an all-Kansas schedule now since, like, 09.
Yeah.
So and you're playing quality opponents. Look, May is a team we're going to talk about here on the show because you play them. Hey, that's not a good team. That's a great team. So and Olathe East, I mean, we know about they got 50 schools in that area. You got to go to Kansas City. But it's good quality football, and it's good quality in-state football.
Well, and we play by the same rules in week one.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't get two scrimmages and have 7 days a head start on us either. And so that was another big factor, because even in Colorado, they, you know, start a little bit earlier. So, I don't mind that. But, you know, I mean, it just, you'd like to play on an even playing field. And, another attractive thing to me was going up to Olathe and Kansas City area is that there's so many, you know, Buffalo alumni that live up in that area that on a Friday night, you know, they know well in advance now that we might be coming, or we will be coming, that, you know, hopefully we can get a lot of alumni and people at the game and have a good, you know, showing, which a lot of people that may live up there haven't been to a Garden City Buffalo football game in years.
And you sit there and think about that, not only the draw from even Topeka, Washburn, but even Lawrence, maybe even K-State too, on top of that, getting some alumni that's going to make the road trip. It won't be as long, obviously, to come up and watch the Buffaloes play. Now, that's going to be kind of a cool thing. I want to go back to the districts when they came out too. I'm a little bit surprised on some of them, to be truthful. I like the way they set up, you know, getting Rossville and Silver Lake playing each other. They're only the war on 24, which Rossville won. It's going to break Silver Lake's nine-year streak of winning that conference. But the thing is, though, that they got Mays South together in 5A. You guys get Northwest in yours. And now you got Hutch, Dodge, and Northwest. And I know that Northwest might be struggling a little bit this year, but generally when you look at the Wichita schools, you automatically think of Heights being a powerhouse, and Northwest also on top of that.
Yeah, and Northwest was actually one of those schools that we were trying to get to play us in week one or two. And Coach Martin, who's the head coach there, he and I are pretty good friends. And, you know, we wanted to play. Just didn't work out, and then all of a sudden, then here come the districts, and within minutes of when they were announced, he wasn't at the meeting in Salina, but I got a text message from him and said, well, I guess we get our wish anyway. So, you know, it'll be good. I mean, Northwest, they're going to be better. I mean, Coach Martin's a great football coach, and, you know, they're only in his second year, and they're going to be getting a lot better. And so, you know, I know that, you know, what's on the horizon for Northwest High School is going to be good. And, I mean, I think from top to bottom now, you know, it's quite a schedule. I mean, you know, we start in Olathe and end with Dodge City, and there's not going to be a patsy anywhere in there in the middle. So
you guys should have a chance at the BCS championship game when it's all
said
and
done. Well, yeah, if we were to go undefeated, I'd hope that the computers spit us out there right there.
That is Brian Hill, head coach, Garden City, joining us here on the Buffalo Coach Show here on AM 1030 KBUF alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. It is $1.50 taco day on Monday here at Jack Sports Grill on the corner of campus and Mary. Take a break. When we come back, we break down a huge win over East, and then we turn our attention to probably one of the biggest matchup of the season thus far, coming up against Mays on Friday night. That's coming up next on the Coaches Show. Garden City first and 10 from their own 42. Temple takes the shotgun snap. Play action. Well protected. Wants the bomb deep down the middle for Temple. Underthrown. Temple makes the catch at the 15. Bouncing wide right to the 10. 5 beats Edwards to the pylon. And he's into the end zone for a touchdown. You know, one of the things as we welcome you back here on the Buffalo Coaches Show on AM 1030 KBUF alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, we had talked about during the postgame show was the different weapons that you guys can spread it around to offensively. One week it was Mitchell Hernandez, second all time for a single game with 200. I think he just caught another one, 230 yards receiving in a single game. And then the next week you have Caleb Tramp goes off, and then Caleb Tramp again. And then really for the first time this season, Dusty has his coming out party, which Ross was predicting that this week. So it must be a nice problem to have when you have all that talent. You can roll safeties towards Caleb, and then Mitch will beat you. You can roll safety towards Dusty. Well, then Caleb and Mitch will beat you. So that's a pretty nice problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, going into every game, you just don't know who they plan on trying to match up with the best. And, you know, that's what we're trying to eyeball early in the game is see what the defense is going to try to – how they're going to try to defend us. And then from there, it's in trying to make adjustments to make those things fix. And you know, I thought that, you know, what they did, you know, I was a little shocked that they tried to play bump man coverage all over the field. And, you know, we took our shots early, and to their credit, they played pretty well. But, you know, over the course of time, I just thought that, you know, we could get behind them. And the more we saw Dusty get off the line of scrimmage, the more you could tell he could blow by that guy. We just needed the right route combination for it. And, you know, Dusty runs such a good post that, you know, and Grayson's so good at throwing it to him that, you know, that was the ones that we went to. And, you know, and just being able to run the football enough initially, you know, they were playing 8-9 guys in the box. We didn't have to worry much about that, but, you know, really drew their attention and just opened up those shots big. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we say, I mean, do you want to sit back and let us try to work it at you, you know, 10 or 12 plays, or do you want to come up and blitz us and play man coverage? And, you know, we got the chance to go 70 or 80 on you. So, you know, it is nice. We've not had that luxury since I've been here to have this kind of explosive athletes out there on the field on offense. And, you know, it's just nice to know that you know, whatever play's called has got a chance to score on that particular play.
Were you surprised or not that, you know, I understand the situation they had over there at quarterback, but still you got to be working on something when you go in the district play. You get down and you're really actually just getting throttled right now. You got to come up with some kind of pass game, and maybe that they were worried about, you know, getting this guy hurt too, that going into the quarterback play. Though I put the jinx on you, because to me, at the one of my keys was that we needed the special teams play has been really pretty doggone good. Hasn't given up a punt return or kickoff return in all game. And you sit there and think about this. You guys go 35, they get seven, and they're only seven. It's 92 yards on that kickoff return. And that is it. And that's how well this defense is playing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're just playing lights out. I mean, it's confidence. We're getting a few kids back here and there, you know, which I think just gives our – if nothing else, if they don't play much, just to feel like when you just, you know, I just came from practice and, you know, we got a couple other kids kind of walking around, kind of looking like they're ready to get back. And it just makes everybody feel a little bit stronger and a little bit better that those kids are actually starting to put a helmet on. And I just think it gives us confidence. They're playing well. We're tackling well. I mean, and the biggest thing I think that we're doing, which was, I thought, a whole key and the difference between last year and this year right now, is that we're not turning the ball over. And we're getting all kinds of turnovers and turning them into points.
One of the guys, we're talking about guys that are coming back, Jacob Norquist, but he didn't start. You know, obviously, Jared Koster has filled that role very nicely. You really have three backs now. You have Norquist, you have Koster, and then you have Malcolm Howard, who had a couple of nice runs in the game, too. So, but talk about the fact that Norquist is back.
Well, and probably the most unforeseen thing that he does for us is he can long snap and short snap. You know, and that's something that nobody's really paying attention who does that. But, you know, it's something he's done since he was been a sophomore for us. And it sure was nice to know that him going out there. We didn't have him long snap yet. Just had him get his feet wet, short snapping. And, you know, on the ones that we did, we didn't have a single problem. They were right on the bunny. And he does a great job there. But, you know, we got him in a little bit on both sides of the ball, just trying to get him to feel his way out, trying to get him in some sort of game shape as best we can in 1 week. And, you know, now that he's gone through and he feels great and he's got confidence that he made it through without unscathed, that he's ready to go, and, you know, he'll be a bigger factor of the game plan this week.
Can I toss a couple more out there? I want to talk about Ortiz. Where's he at right now? How's he getting along?
Alex is doing well. We're kind of still seeing how he reacts. He's moving much better, not limping nearly as much, and we're kind of waiting on a few more days to kind of make that call on him.
And even with that said, how do you think – how did you grade Nichols, you know, filling
in? Austin Nichols played fantastic. He did, you know, making his first high school start, I thought he did great. I mean, there's things that he screwed up on, but just like everybody does. And, you know, I was very proud of what he did and how he reacted to getting thrown into the fire, you know, 6 weeks into the season. I thought he did a great job.
Then I want to get back to Hunter Delgado. I know that he was going to get – I don't know if he got released or not Monday, today or not, or if it's Tuesday or not. I know that he wants to play. That's the thing. And honestly, that when you sit there and think about this, as a coach, you know, you put yourself – I mean, you guys are basically mother, fathers, however you want to put, grandparents, besides being coaches. And sometimes you have to make a difficult decision. You will get the doctors okay. Even in – let's take Hunter out of the equation. But, like, you take a kid that comes in, you know that senior year, they want to get in and give a shot, whether it's a knee, in this case a kidney. Talk about what goes through your mind. You know, I know that he would love to get in play. You'd like to see him get a play or two in there also and come back and get in this because he was going to be a valuable part of this team. Talk about your thoughts and, you know, what it takes for you to say, okay, get after it.
Well, I mean, my evaluation is only going to be – on a football level. I don't claim to be a doctor. I don't know anything about a kidney or anything like that. And so whatever doctors tell me from that standpoint, if they clear him to dress out and things, then we'll start addressing him as a football player. That's to me what my job is. I mean, you know, and then that's when, like you said, the whole different factors of, you know, I mean, because I do try to treat every kid like he's my own son. Would I want him out there? Would I want him doing this, that? And, you know, as far as that's concerned, if they clear him to play, which the doctors know what football relies on, and then if once that happens and then he can get himself out there and get in some sort of playing shape and show that he is under no greater danger than what any other player out there on the field is, then we'll play him. But until that point, you know, he makes a great signaler for the defense. And that's what he's been doing. And I tell you, he's really taken on a role as a coach. And it's something that I told him that while he was up in the hospital that, you know, his role now has just changed. And, you know, he's there on the sideline every Friday. He's helping out. He's encouragement. And like I said, even before, you know, when he had those problems is, you know, just, again, those kids are just used to seeing one another. And when he's missing, there's a part of us missing. And so the fact that he's just been able to stand on the sideline, I think, is no coincidence to us playing well also.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more on the East game, a 35-7 win on Friday night. Then we'll focus on the long road trip to Mays. First of three district games of the season officially starts on Friday. That's coming up next on the Coach's Show live from Jax. First and 10, Garden City moving from left to right at the Wichita East 42-yard line. Two receivers, including Caleb Tramp, to the far side left. Here comes a five-man rush. Temple off his back foot. Heaves one to the near side. It's caught. Touchdown. Dustin Temple working on Willie Edwards. Off the back foot, Grayson Temple to his twin brother. This one goes for 42 yards. It's the second hookup, brother to brother. Garden City leads 31-7. All right, back at the Coach's Show, AM 1030 KBUF, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We'll get to Martin Segovia. We have the athletic director of Garden City High School going to join us here in just a second. I want to get to that play here quickly with you, Coach, because that's something I mentioned to you in the post game as well. Not only was it a great throw, it was the Brett Favre off your back foot perfectly. Actually, I think he overthrew him by a half a step, too, and that's off his back foot. And that's the first thing that I noticed when I saw Grayson in the Bixby game when he threw that 65- or 70-yard bomb that his brother dropped. Mm-hmm. This time, as we've seen through the weeks, the progression makes the catch, and again, a fine throw.
Yeah, he made a great adjustment to the ball, really. And, you know, I think that, you know, that was one of those things that the corner that had been playing on Caleb went down on the play right before and went off the sideline. And my ears were burning from Coach Riemann yelling and screaming that the guy went off the field. And, in fact, we were trying to gonna throw it to Caleb, but the corner number four that had been playing Dusty, the second-best corner, went running over to Caleb. And so Grayson's, that's, again, his maturity that has grown up, that he saw then the new meat is what we call him, over there lined up and coming off cold off the sideline and you know, just hooked up and threw a ball to a guy that had to come off the sideline cold to try to play a fade.
Yeah, definitely a perfect throw. Another big night for Grayson, big night for Dusty as well. I want to bring in Martin Segovia, the athletic director, Garden City High School, and we were talking about this earlier, is the schedule that's finally done. And I know I'm the only bald guy here, but I know the stress that you and Coach Hill have gone through over the last couple of years trying to get this a schedule where the competitive advantage doesn't favor one way or the other. That's what we had, obviously, in Oklahoma, because they've got two scrimmages. They have practice. They're almost 2 weeks fully in front of you guys.
Right.
So now that you have an all-Kansas schedule, I'm sure you're sleeping. At least that's one of your 13 other jobs that you do, but at least part of you is sleeping a little bit better now.
I'm just ecstatic for our community and obviously for the football program and the Buffs across the state to get to actually watch our team play. You know, it's difficult for people to travel to Oklahoma or Colorado, but when you get to stay in Kansas and maybe stay with family along the way, you know, it gives us an opportunity to have more fan base.
Yeah, and you mentioned, obviously, Olathe East, which there's a lot of alum that we've talked about with Coach Hill that are in the Kansas City area that are actually around there, so that's obviously a positive, too. And then you have a team like Mays, who, A, is a really good team that we're going to get to see on Friday night, and B, it's a familiar team that they're going to make the trip here
right.
next year.
Right, so it's just a good balance, and Coach Hill worked hard on it as well, and you have to credit all of us just for kind of getting this together, but at the same token, you know, again, there's still some travel involved, but it's local, it's in Kansas, it's in the state, so we're excited about that.
Now, the people that the school, Olathe, they do know where Garden City is. I know when you start going to that part of the state and you hand them a map, they have no idea where they're going until they have to come out here.
But we talked about it. We don't think they know what they're getting into.
But that's what Coach Hill out of his mouth.
We got a little bit out of him, but, you know, we came back from the meeting Wednesday, and then Thursday my phone's ringing. I've got a couple of Pueblo schools calling that want to play us, which, you know, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, if we can't get anybody on the cycle after this 2 years, that we can give those guys a call back, and they're a little more closer to home. But at the same token, you know, we won't trade this one for the opportunity to play in the state of Kansas, and be fair.
That is Martin Segovia, Garden City High School Athletic Director, also Garden City Football Coach Brian Hill joining us here on the Coach's Show live from Jax. We've got a few minutes left. A couple other things I want to point out. The volleyball, the WAC tournament is coming up this weekend, but golf regionals today.
Yes.
I only knew the 5A. I didn't get the 6A results as of yet. Maybe you have those.
I do. We were second as a team, runner-up to Mays, but we qualified our whole team, and Abby Shaddix shot a 72 to win the regional as a three-time regional champion. So we'll be well represented at home as we host the 6A golf tournament on Monday the 21st here at Buffalo Dunes.
And it won't be surprising if we see Abby Shaddix playing on the LPGA Tour at some point, right?
I hope not. I hope she gets there, and I know she's got a lot of goals, and one of them being to finish her high school career out with a state championship, and she's right in there with some good contention of athletes, but I think she's got a good chance of doing that. So we're excited to host and to be at home.
We should say congratulations to the tennis team as well, a second-place finish on Saturday, so, and they have some state qualifiers as well.
That's right. We have a singles player, Jeanette Martinez, and then a doubles team, you know, that's representing us, Shea Cartmill and little Claire Schmidt. So they're heading out, Thursday to compete Friday morning in Mays, which is nice. So we're all in Mays, it seems like, on Friday. So it'll be a fun little jump for
all of us. Yeah, logistically, everything kind of works out. And last but not least, Krista Lindenberger continues to do an outstanding job with the cross-country team. The boys had a pretty good finish, and then the girls, mm-hmm. I mean, no surprise with the girls' finish. It's always one or number two.
Right.
And then, you know, Ross will never take any credit, but his daughter Alex and, you know, even, you know, Kayla Dahl finishing right behind her. So the team in itself is outstanding again.
Yes, they're headed to their, conference championships this week on Thursday to Great Bend. And then our soccer team right now is in a tournament in Wichita. They won their game tonight 3-1. So currently we've been talking about this in all the six sports going on here in the fall. We either lead the conference or in second place. So, and I think out of four out of six, we are in first place and pushing a heavy fifth here, you know, for a fifth team to win that outright. So we're sitting in good position. The coaches have done a nice job, and their athletes have followed suit. So you couldn't ask to a better time to be a Buffalo.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned soccer, because, I mean, soccer had a big win, as you mentioned, over Great Bend, and now they're first in the WAC because they beat Dodge City. They've, mm-hmm. they've basically beaten everybody so far, and the big win over Liberal, which had won before they won it last year. They had won, like, the previous, I think, 31 consecutive WAC championships. So
they've had a good run.
The run is over as we speak now. Before we get out of here, I want to get back to Coach Hill over here. This week, as we turn our attention away from Wichita East and now the three games, these are the three games that they all count, but these are the ones that make or break your season. If you don't win two of these, season's over. And you have as tough a three-game stretch now as you're going to see at any other time during the season, and you're not worried about the other two. So let's focus on Mays, which is a team that's 5-1. They're rolling right now. They got good quarterback play. They got a very good defense. They got a coach that's been there now for 3 years, so the system is in place. This is going to be a dogfight for you guys on the road.
Oh, absolutely. They got an extremely good quarterback. They got one of the top rushers in the state at tailback. They've got a very explosive athlete out at wide receiver. So, they're going to be a handful for sure. And they've been playing great football. They won last Friday 70-0. They know how to score, and they know how to do it often. So, it's going to be a real challenge for us to go there on the road to hostile territory, to their place, and put forth the same kind of effort that we have the last 3 weeks. And that's a goal. We've got to go, but like you said, we can carry nothing over. I mean, everybody's record basically is 0-0 now, and this three-game stretch means everything.
When you talk about the wins over Hayes and Liberal, you blew them out. Hayes, you did the same thing. Arguably, quote unquote, we don't believe this, but the two best quarterbacks that everybody was talking about in the state, because nobody's ever heard of Grayson Temple. What has he done? So they talk about Delton, they talk about Britton Abbott, and you crushed them. Now you face another one. Do those wins give you any sort of a confidence? No, and A, those wins were on the road. I mean, you weren't at home. You were in a hostile environment, especially against Hayes. I mean, it was packed. It was a homecoming night, and you took care of them as well.
Well, we've always played well on the road. Our kids travel well. 3 hours is nothing to them. They do a good job of focusing in on the trip. They know it's a business trip. We're going for one reason. It's not a field trip, sightseeing or anything. We're going for one reason, and that's to go. And I think for whatever reason, our kids just thrive on being there and knowing that, you know, the majority of the people that are at the game are against us. And, you know, it kind of goes back to that same thing I've been saying, is carrying a chip on your shoulder and wanting to prove all those people that are sitting on the other side in red and white wrong, and show them what we do out here and how hard that these kids have worked. And, you know, I expect nothing less from our kids. I know that we're going to have a great week of practice, and it should be a great football game on Friday night.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on a big win, and good luck moving forward on Friday night. We'll see you on Friday.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
There you go. That is Brian Hill. Also, we want to say thank you to you, Martin Segovia, coming on as well. I mean, I think I'm busy. You have like 14 titles, so we don't even try to compare and contrast, right?
Not a problem. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. There you go. Those two gentlemen joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show. That's going to wrap it up. Again, coming up on Friday night, Garden City on the road against Mays. Check out westernkansasnews.com. It's either going to be a 99.9 or 98.1. You'll know beforehand, but make sure you check out the website, westernkansasnews.com. Thanks to Brett Erskine back in the studio, doing a great job as always. Stay tuned, because coming up next, it is the Buster Coaches Show live right here on AM 1030 KBUF.